It's weird when there's drama on your street between neighbors and like you don't know if you should get involved or not.
Mm, what's going on?
So one of the neighbors that I'm friendly with called me, and like she's probably like the closest neighbor I have because we have mutual friends and all that. And she was so upset. And the neighbor that's diagonally across from us approached her and complained that she had a storage unit in her driveway for too long.
Like one of those pod things or whatever. Yes.
So she complained that it was there for too long, that it was an eyesore, that it was bringing down property value on the street, and also complained that she had another car. It's like her husband's, like I guess like he uses for dump runs, and he also parks it on the side lawn. And she didn't like that. She says that like it's a real problem and that she's consulted with all the neighbors and they went to City Hall about it. So she called me all upset because she thought like that I was part of this. And I was like, nobody in the street talks to me, which is how I like it, to be honest.
I did not file any paperwork against you. I have not signed a petition.
It's the first I'm even hearing of it. And truthfully, like, you know, like, and I'm not just saying it, I'm like oblivious to this stuff.
Sure.
I kind of like just keep my head straight and just like, you know, like I didn't even notice. And the reason why she's had the storage unit so long, as I learned from having this conversation, is that all her cabinets, she's redoing her kitchen, have been on back order for months and months and months because everything is like in the ocean on whatever they call it, containers.
Right. Some container ship somewhere. So it's temporary. That's the important thing.
Yes. But basically, she like called her trash and she was really upset about it.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, what do you think? Like, what do I think? And I was like, I didn't know how to get involved. So I was like, I don't want to get involved. And I live right in the middle of them.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably some truth to what she's saying. It probably is an eyesore. And, you know, if people are evaluating the neighborhood, I guess it might bring things down a little bit. I never really believed that.
I don't
believe
that either.
If there's not a junked car or, you know, clearly like, you know, something crazy going on at the house, I feel like people realize that, you know, you're going to have great neighbors, some, and some are doing one thing or another. So that's not a big deal. Getting in the middle of somebody else's feud, though, that's weird. And you know what? It's just human nature, and neighbors are no different. They want you to pick a side.
Isn't it weird? So that, like, I immediately jumped on her side, and I was...
Well, because she's on the phone with you.
And she's my, like, I know her. But I was like, I didn't think it was fair for her to be like, I spoke to all the neighbors. Well, you didn't speak to me, so, like, don't throw that, like, around. No one ever talked to me about it.
And then you're making it like I'm coming to you. It's hostile immediately at that point. Like, you could talk to them about it first and not make it like I spoke to all these people before you were even aware about you.
Isn't it strange?
Yeah, you have no right to be talking about me and my business to everybody else.
Neighbor drama, man. Like, I don't know how to deal with it. So, like, I said to her, and it's the truth. It's what I think. It's mind your business. Like, she's doing everything on her own property. Like, in my world, what I think is if you're doing everything on your own property, you're not doing anything to infringe on my property.
Right.
Then I don't have a problem with it. Am I wrong to think that?
I have feuding neighbors. We don't get involved in their drama either. As a matter of fact, when one of them says something or snarky about them or whatever, I don't laugh. And I usually say, not my issue, you know, that kind of thing. That way that they know that I'm not just going to come along for it. What we have for drama in my neighborhood right now is we're trying to figure out whether or not the guy from across the street moved out or got kicked out by his wife. That's what we're trying to figure out.
So you're just being like nosy.
I'm figuring out when his car arrives, when it doesn't. I saw a moving truck, but it wasn't like a real one. It was like a little one. I don't know.
What's worse, the neighbor that approaches you about the problem they have or the creepy neighbor across the street that's just using binoculars and looking at your driveway?
Trying to figure out whether or not you still got a spouse.
Right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You're not supposed to complain, but sometimes it just makes you feel good, right? What is the thing that drives you crazy? When somebody does it, talks about it, this is your chance to get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you.
Ruby, what do you got?
If you lick the yogurt lid, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, after you open it, you mean?
Well, it's got that little bit on top. You like peel over that foil.
I mean, all right, let me give you an example here. What if it was a snack pack of pudding? All right? Snack pack of pudding, you're telling me you're leaving the chocolate pudding on there?
Valid question.
How do you not take that scoop?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like it is filled with other tasty ingredients.
Well, maybe it's not enough. If it's that tasty, I'm going to want every bit of it.
Is it
even
sanitary to lick that thing? I guess, right?
It was sealed by a machine. Yeah. There's not some person out there sealing the tops of your yogurts. Kyle, that's all I need to know about you.
Okay, if you ask me to move and I show up and I'm there to help you move and your house doesn't have any air conditioning and you haven't packed anything, that's all I need to know about you.
That's terrible. That's the worst. You show up, you're thinking, I've got 3 hours to give this guy. Anna, I'm of the thought of, I help you get in the dresser, I help you get in the bedroom set, the heavy stuff, a fridge or something like that.
Yes.
I'm off the hook for everything else after that.
I agree. I think that if you ask friends to help you move, you are assuming that you need help with the big stuff.
Right.
Like if the boxes, like that's on you.
The boxes have got to be packed.
Right.
I don't want to walk in and see anything that's not in boxes because that means anything big I want to remove, I got to take it off of it or out of it or whatever. And then I got to walk around it without destroying it.
I think that there's different levels of moving companions. My mom, my sister, my brother, people that are close in my family.
Sure.
Yes, you have to pick up the boxes of dishes.
You're required.
You're required to do that. But if Paul calls his buddy Charlie to come over, only the TV, the bed, mm-hmm. the things that we can't handle on our own. Should definitely be pizza, beer, and there definitely should be air conditioning.
Clear. We're with you.
Lisa, that's all I need to know about you.
If you go apple picking before Labor Day, that's all I need to know about you.
Agreed.
I went the other day.
Why?
I didn't go apple picking. No. I just went to the orchard store. Relax. It was so busy. They already had some sort of maze open or whatever. It was nuts.
Well, I feel like the minute we get to the end of the summer, everybody wants to dive into fall. Now, I will play devil's advocate and say that I know that now technically is apple picking season. Like, this is the time where you get really great apples. They all peak at different times over the next 6 weeks, I believe.
Roll it back, apple crazy person.
I know a lot about apple picking.
I mean,
I don't
seriously.
Want to call myself an expert, but I'm kind of an expert. I mean, so there's that.
What a strange thing to have expertise in.
And you want to know what makes me a little bit upset and angry? That it's still hot through the month of September because you want to get the flannel and the boots and wear the cute hats and do the apple orchard pictures and the scarf, but it's like 85, 90 degrees. But it's like a price you have to pay for it.
I don't know what's more ridiculous to me. The fact that you consider yourself to be an apple expert.
I know when they peak.
Or the fact that you have enough feelings about it to be angered by the fact that the globe is warm at the moment. And that's not when you prefer to do your picking because you have to wear flannel. Wow.
It's a real thing.
Wow.
It's a real thing.
Take notice, orchards. Make some adjustments. Anna Zapp is telling you how it needs to be.
I'm not saying it's their fault. They can't control global warming. But I'm just saying.
God, then.
Right. I guess it doesn't make sense. I'm just saying it's nice when you can wear a sweater. That's all. Sharing is caring, and that's exactly what's going to happen. It's the Anna and Raven Show group therapy. All you have to do is fill in the blank, gentlemen. Yesterday, blank happened, and I felt blank.
Mm.
Raven, you go first.
Oh, you know, first I didn't know whether or not mine was going to measure up, but yesterday I watched the last episode of a show that I've been watching for a really long time, for like 4 or 5 years, and I felt bittersweet about it. And I still do today. You know how like when you finish something and you're happy like you got to the end and you know the story wrapped up, but you're still like, oh, those characters will no longer live in my life.
It's true.
Yeah, that's
sometimes
how I feel.
It happens.
So I watched the DVR'd finale of Animal Kingdom, which is a show that nobody watches on FX or TNT. And it's a really good show. And it ended yesterday. Well, it ended the day before, but I got to watch it yesterday.
And now they no longer live in your mind.
That's right. Well, spoiler alert, some of them are no longer living at all.
Oh, okay.
Sorry if you didn't get to watch it, but there's only 5 of us watching it. And one of them is one of the actors' moms.
All right. Producer John, you're next.
Well, yesterday my son had his first day of preschool, big boy school, and I felt conflicted. I felt conflicted because I was sad. Part of me was sad. I don't want to see him get any older because, you know, I mean, see, that's my little guy. The other part of me, though, is really happy I don't have to pay for daycare anymore because it's so much cheaper. It's so much cheaper.
Yes.
It's so much cheaper to send him to preschool. And then in a couple of years from now, he can just go to kindergarten.
It's
and
unbelievable.
It costs no money.
I can't wait.
Right.
I can't wait either, but I want to wait because like those 2 years are important. I want to enjoy those two. But also, dude, get older because I'm going broke sending you to places.
Right.
Like so there was conflict. I felt conflict.
I understand that. I understand that immediately. Actually goes hand in hand with mine. Yesterday, the new schedule happened in my life.
Okay.
And I felt like I wanted to vomit all over the place.
Right. No, no assistance, so, right? No babysitter, so my, no nanny.
My nanny, who has been with me since Dakota was a baby, you know... I call her my nanny, but she wasn't. She's really like a she's like a babysitter.
She did everything, though.
She did everything. She was just like my right hand, and she helped me with everything, and I adored her. But she was going to get her master's degree over the last 3 years. And yeah. She's not dead, thank God.
Right, she's grown up now.
Just to clarify.
She has her own life.
Yeah, right. She finished her master's degree, and she said that she would stay with me for another 6-7 months. And I said, no, you need insurance.
Fly.
And I said, I go, the first job interview that you go on, and she was going to be a para in the school district. I go, I'm telling you, the first district you go on is going to hire you. And the first interview she went on, she got a job offers from like 10 schools. Like,
sure.
She only went on one interview. And, you know, she went. So yesterday was the first day where I'm going to figure it out on my own. but it sounds like I sound crazy saying it, but it's also getting out of work early enough that I can be there for the pickups and getting the kids to all the practices on my own. And
yeah, you're not sure you're going to be able to do it still.
I don't know. And also just the anxiety of like the back to school routine where like, okay, now we got to get to soccer. Okay, we have to have dinner on the table, but she doesn't get home till 8 o'clock, and I got to get all the kids bathed, and I got to get them in bed. And
it's making me anxious.
It's a lot.
Okay, let's go on. Sean, go ahead. Your turn.
It's good you got it out.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I found out my bank is changing over their systems and everything, and it made me feel very upset because now I have to call all my places and let them know why my automatic payments didn't go through. Deal with that. Get a new card. I can't use the card I have until like September something, so it's just an added level of stress I don't want or need right now.
You know, and that goes on and on for months. That's the thing. You will get bills that say that you owed or whatever from this one, and you won't even know after a while. You're just going to keep paying them.
Yeah.
I just had to go through this when my identity was compromised. Wow.
We all feel better now? I don't. Just for the record, I don't.
My show's still over.
Yeah. Sydney Sweeney from HBO's Euphoria is being criticized because of her family members. She threw her mom a 60th birthday party, and she posted the pictures online. And in the background of the pictures, you could see one family member that's like head to toe in like political wear.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's jumping down her throat, you know, one way or the other. And it's like, she's like, it's just like my crazy uncle. Like, that's just him. Like,
right.
What am I going to do? He shows up. He's, you know, he's my uncle.
I mean, what a world that we live in that people are just like, you know, navigating through people's background of their photos to get something to be mad about.
But everybody's got that one family member, and it's time to shame your name. That one family member that always is embarrassing you, or is that one character of the family. Everybody's got one.
Yeah. I've got an uncle that, I swear to God, he's the black sheep because I think he got a DUI 1,000 years ago.
Still holding on to
40% of America has had some sort of run-in over alcohol at some point in their life. And in everybody's mind, apparently he's just regarded as the alcoholic now at this point. My father used to steal landscaping materials from different areas around him. So he had a thing like, you know, he would do his landscaping, and I don't mean like a truckload or something, but, you know, like ornate rocks, you know, like you see a stone and it's like a piece of granite and it's really pretty or whatever, and somebody wants to charge $100 for a rock, he would just steal those.
So he'd be known as a thief?
I mean, nobody knew except me. I'm putting it out there now, but I mean, he would steal these rocks from, like, you know, the water company in town, like different businesses, not an individual, but the man.
Great.
So he's like the Robin Hood of stealing rocks.
That's so much worse than the other thing.
I know. You're like, my uncle got a DUI once, but my dad stole everything. Everything he get his hands on.
Rest in peace. He's laughing. He's enjoying himself.
Producer Sean, shame your name. Who's that wacky person in your family?
My uncle is just too much. He's the guy on social media who doesn't understand the difference between, like, commenting on someone's photo and posting a status.
Yes.
So he'll comment on someone's photo his status.
Yeah.
And he won't even tag him in it.
Right.
And you're like, what are you doing? Who are you talking to? This is really weird and embarrassing. And then, like, he'll try to tag in something that just has nothing to do with you.
Right.
And then you're like, now you have a feed of, like fishing stuff. And I'm like, I don't go fishing like that.
Yeah. Producer John, shame your name.
Yeah, I love my dad, but it's easily my dad. By far. In fact, it's our entire section of the family. Like, my family, my father's side of the family is all doctors and lawyers, prominent ones, too, surgeons, you know, Southern District in New York, you know, attorneys. And then there's my dad, and he's a professional actor. And now it's starting to, listen, he's made a living. He's made a living. It's starting to trickle down to me now, too, because none of the rest of my family understands what I do for a living. They just think I'm doing some other acting thing. You do the other, the acting thing with the, I'm like, no, it's a very, you know what, never mind. Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. Plus, like, we're all divorced. The rest of the family is in, like, marriages for, like, 30, 40 years. So when I announced that I was getting divorced a couple years ago, they were just like, well, it's,
of course.
It's Joseph's son. It's
true.
My family's all from Italy. I'm first-generation American. So whenever I, like, introduce my uncles and I'm like, this is Zio Mario and this is Zio Luigi, it's always the same thing. Mario and Luigi? Your uncles are Mario and Luigi, like Super Mario Brothers? And they fit the, they look exactly like Mario and Luigi. They got the mustaches and they act like them. And I'm like, they're not plumbers, they're pizza guys. It's different. It's completely different.
It feels like it's the same, first of all. Also, I've worked for you for 2 years. I'm just finding this out right now, and I'm never letting it go. It's awesome.
Sydney Sweeney from HBO's Euphoria is being criticized because she threw her mom a 60th birthday party. And in the background, there was that one family member wearing all political gear, and the internet just went crazy over the politics. And she's like, it's just like my crazy uncle. What am I going to do? It's my mom's birthday party.
Every family's got one.
Shame your name. Who is that crazy family member in your family? 1-800-330-9999.
Kathy, go ahead. Shame your name.
My aunt is one of those hardcore conspiracy theorists. She actually believes that the earth is flat.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm like, didn't you graduate high school? Come on. You really think the earth is flat? And she thinks this whole thing has been a big lie.
I think, didn't Shaquille O'Neal just say, too, that he thinks the world is flat?
No, no. He doesn't. No. You're thinking of, Kyrie Irving said that he thought the earth was flat not too long ago, or Jason Tatum or something like that. Nobody cares what those guys think.
No. I found the article. Shaq also believes the world is flat.
No, I'm not
looking
buying
at it
that.
Right now. He stands by his 2017. This was just a few days ago.
I think the internet is fooling you. I mean, he has a jet. He can fly around the world.
He says that he just flew 20 hours to Australia and never once did he change directions or go upside down during his trip. I swear this is what it says.
That's a joke. Can you not read that that's a joke?
He also says that he doesn't believe it spins. That's what it says. This is real news.
Right. That's a joke about globes. That's what that is, Anna Zapp.
Mike, shame your name, your crazy family member.
Okay, it's my dad. I mean, I love him, but for whatever reason, he's always got boogers in his nose. I mean, the big ones, and it's like he doesn't even feel that they're there. We always got to tell him, hey, you got some you got some bats in the cave.
My dad used to pick a nose. He would pick a nose. He didn't care where he was. And everybody knows a kid like that. But, like, this is an adult. It's a grown man. Now, I mean, he wouldn't do it necessarily in public, but he'd do it in my vicinity. He'd do it in my presence.
Well, Dakota, my toddler, is a nose picker right now. We're working on it. And then she'll pick it from the back seat, and then she'll describe it to me and yell it out. And then she'll keep yelling that it's on her finger. And then she'll threaten to put it in her mouth if I don't hurry up and come take it away from her.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't understand how this has happened to me. But it's disgusting.
I mean, everybody has picked a nose at once. But you got to find a space. Find a space for yourself.
Yeah, where no one can see you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And then you can get that sucker out of there.
Haley, shame your name. What's the most embarrassing person in your family? What do they do?
Yeah, my mom, I love her. I do. But she puts that rouge on her cheeks to where she looks like a clown. Mm. And I've told her about it multiple times. But she's like, that's my trademark.
Wow. Like, Tammy Faye Baker style, right? Super, like, clowny, right? Almost, right? I don't know.
But it's funny because if it's her branding, it's the way she looks and it's her trademark. I understand that. Like, I stopped wearing my bright red lipstick.
Yeah.
And I've had a few people say to me, like, where's your lipstick? Maybe when she stops putting on that rouge, people are going to stop recognizing her. Travis, shame your name. Go ahead. Most embarrassing person in your family.
Yeah, I got an uncle by the name of Sal. Growing up as a kid, he actually used to be a bookie. So, you know, I always thought I was taking a ride with my uncle. You know, he would take me to go get candy, but we were actually going to collect bets. Never really realized it until one guy didn't pay up. And then, that got pretty bad one day. So, yeah, Uncle Sal. teaching me from a young age.
I got news for you, buddy. Uncle Sal is still in the bookmaking game. He might be doing collections, but if he's alive, he's still in the bookie game one way or the other. You don't get out.
Or in jail.
Well, there's that. If he's not in jail. Yeah. If he is in jail, thanks for the life experience, Sal.
Why is it trending? Top news story trending and why? All about the U.S. Open. Serena Williams' retirement has to wait another day because she won her first match over Danka Kofanik in straight sets. Here's the final call.
Oh, that's just too good.
There it is. The release of tension from Serena. It wasn't a thing of beauty, battling some nerves, battling her own serve, but she takes it 6-3.
I mean, she won in two straight sets. I mean, isn't that usually pretty dominant?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's what you want. But she had 10 break points the first time. I watched the first bit of it, actually. But, yeah, I mean, I don't like this, you know, we're going to have to wait another day for a retirement talk. I don't want you to frame it that way anymore. Like, it's a lot to ask for her to do something amazing right now at the Open. But, you know, that's just what I want.
She, I felt bad for Danka Kovanec because I'm like, everybody's rooting for her to lose, you know? Well, but she was such a sport. She said, like, maybe, like, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be able to play against her, and she's doing it, like, in this kind of forum.
Sure.
I understand that. So after the match, Gail King joined her on the court to interview her, and this is what she said.
I always just got to do the best that I can, you know. This is, I feel so comfortable on this court and in front of everyone here.
And then she talked more about her retirement and her plans.
It's been such a hard decision. I think when you're passionate about something and you love something so much, it's always hard to, like, walk away. Sometimes I think it's harder to walk away than to not.
But you clearly still love this game.
I do.
It's part of your DNA, yeah.
Yeah, I do. Also, I love it because it keeps you fit, you know?
So yep.
That's a bonus.
Can we talk about her daughter, Olympia? I mean, she stole the show last night.
Mm.
She's such a beautiful little girl, and she had she was dressed matching with Serena, like
sure.
With her mommy.
They do that all the time, yeah.
Yep, and she had her hair like the first time when Serena won the U.S. Open in 1999 in the braids with the white beads, mm-hmm. And she had the little camera like her dad, like Serena's dad, would always go and take pictures. It melted my heart to watch her. It was so adorable and cute. And then they asked her, like, okay, well, when this is over and you retire, what's next?
So, yeah, I have my VC company, Serena Ventures, and like I said, we invest in a lot of people. I really wanted to spend more time at home and working on my spiritual life, and that was really important to me. So, yeah, it's like Serena 2.0. I'm still going to be crazy.
2.0.
I'm still going to be intense. I'll still be around.
I mean, she's a big business success. It's not like she's going to disappear from life. It's just going to be different not to see her play.
I know.
Competitively. I think she's still going to play from time to time. I do. I think there's going to be special opportunities for her to play.
I think it's going to be for fun, though. I don't think it'll ever be to compete again.
Kind of like Pro-Am. It'll be light competition, I think. What's the word I'm looking for?
Exhibition?
Yes.
Exhibition.
Yes.
Exhibition. That's it.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. So she plays again tomorrow against number 2 seed Anett Kadyavit, and it's going to be a difficult match, so there's going to be a lot of eyes on that. Ticket prices, forget it if you want to go, or $7,500 a seat at this point. It's ridiculous.
Well, show me something amazing, Serena, one more time, please.
Yeah, and she's going to be playing doubles alongside her sister Venus, so that's going to be fun to watch, too. It's going to be an exciting couple days. It's back to school time, and for many kids, they're just going back to their same school, just a different grade, new haircut, new pair of sneakers, but they know the drill.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting the first day, and you're still a little bit nervous. I mean, at least I was all the time.
Oh, yeah, you're always nervous the first day of school.
Sure.
But starting kindergarten is really nerve-wracking because you don't even know what to expect. You're in big kid school now. You gotta learn how to hang. You gotta know the things.
Wait
right?
a minute. My mom's gonna leave me here? Are you serious right now? I'm gonna freak out. This thing is not happening.
So what advice would you give to kindergartners going to their first day of school? We figured, who better to ask than other kids?
I would probably tell them to try to make new friends and talk to other kids and respect the teachers and try to stay pretty calm. But they probably won't stay calm at recess, which is fine.
At recess, you can go nuts.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to me that it's just so powerful to hear kids talk about feelings, right? Mm-hmm. Like, try and stay calm. My God, I don't even remember having that kind of presence of mind as a kid, right?
There's two kids on the playground.
Yeah.
The one kid that was me, was just sitting on like the curb, quietly sitting there silent.
Yeah.
And then the one kid who's just screaming, doing laps all around the seesaw over and over and over.
I would also tell them that they shouldn't like throw things at other kids. And yeah. That's it.
That was a big hang up for
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Big, I had a big problem with throwing things at kids. Once you get past that, you're going to be all right.
Every kindergartner needs to know on their first day of school that the 50th day, the second day, the 35th day won't be as scary as the first day.
It's true. The first day is always the hardest day, no matter what, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
So my little brother's going into kindergarten, Nate. So firstly, nobody's going to know anybody. So you'll be fine. I've actually been like worried about that for Nate.
It's really cute that she's worried about her little brother not knowing anybody in the first day of school.
Well, you're told by your parents all the time, right? You got to look out for, you know, your younger sibling, especially if you're in the same school. Like, that's a big deal.
It is so scary when they don't know anybody the first time, you know, like you're just going in. But I feel like I've noticed this lately with my daughter, Dakota. She's going to be four. They just make friends. It's not like adults where like we're afraid to talk to people and like try to be friends. Like Dakota will walk up to a complete stranger and say, do you want to play with me? And I'm so proud of her that she's just able to do that. And she doesn't even blink. Like I wouldn't do that at 42 years old. You know,
let's hope she keeps doing that at 15.
Right.
Secondly, don't run into poles at the playground. I did that by accident, and I almost knocked out my tooth.
Yep. Definitely avoid poles if possible.
When you're looking around, you're trying to look cool. I mean, you're trying to just not look uncool, right? And then you walk into something. I mean, that's happened to me. That has happened
Thirdly,
to me.
Don't pinch girls' backs. A kid did that to me, and I screamed, and he was sent to the principal's office. So that's kind of all.
Yeah, don't run into poles, and don't pinch girls' backs. That's it. You'll be good.
That's a good rule also.
We got more advice coming up next. Back to school, and it's nerve-wracking for all students, parents too, of course. But for kindergartners, it's even harder. It's their first time in a big school with all the other kids, and they don't know what to expect.
Lots of strangers, lots of, you know, crazy people around, right? There's just a lot of movement and action around them. And, you know, let's face it, when you're a little kid, you're kind of the center of attention. Mm-hmm. When you go there, now you are one of many, and you figure that out for the first time.
So what would be the best advice that you can give a kindergartner as they go to school for the first time? We thought, who better to ask than other kids?
To the kindergartners, don't eat crayons. Those things taste really bad.
Have you ever eaten a crayon before, Raven?
I can't say I was ever the crayon kid or the paste eater. I was never really neither of those.
I chewed on a few crayons in my time.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always used to lose my crayons, too, and then I would have to borrow them from the other kids, and it was always a thing.
And when you taste a crayon, like...
It's very distinct.
It
has a taste.
Right, but all of them taste the same, right? So it's not like if you pick up the red one, it tastes different than the blue one.
Why, you think the red one tastes like cherry?
I mean...
If the red one tasted like cherry, I would have eaten all the red crayons, without a doubt.
One tip I have before going into kindergarten, get competitive because it's going to be really competitive in kindergarten. Everyone's going to be fighting for that front of line, and you know you have to get that front of line.
Why does everybody want to be the line leader?
Oh, man.
Everybody wants to be the line leader. Dakota, she's in preschool, my little one, she'll be four. She is obsessed with being the bell ringer.
Yeah.
I didn't even know the bell ringer was a job until she started preschool. And then every day, if she's not the bell ringer, she gets so angry. It's like a big thing.
It's tough to try and roll yourself back from being overeager.
Yeah.
It's hard, you know? Even as an adult, sometimes that's hard for me.
He said, get competitive. Like, what?
Like, what? I didn't expect that, right?
No. My advice is just to be respectful towards your teacher.
Yeah, your teacher's going to be your best friend, without a doubt. Always go to your teacher for everything.
Hi, I'm Vivian, and my advice from one kid to another is to definitely not bite your friend during nap time. It's painful.
Who's biting their friends during nap time?
Sounds like she got bit. She was the bit-y. Right.
A kindergartner should know how to write their name and at least 1+1.
Do kindergartners know how to write their name?
What was the other thing she said? One plus one. Okay.
I don't know if Dakota, I mean, she's only going into the fours, so I have a little time. I have a year.
Sure.
She certainly doesn't know how to write her name.
No.
Not even the D. Should I be working on that?
I mean, I guess so, right? Nobody signs their name anymore, right? So,
I mean, they have to learn how to write their name, Raven. Yeah, you don't have to. As long as you can text it on mommy's phone, you're
just
cool.
Put X or a fingerprint nowadays, right?
Hi, from one kid to another, a kindergartner on the first day of school should know to always bring a change of pants because they don't always tell the teacher that they have to use the bathroom.
Truth.
I mean, that is serious advice right there.
Legit advice. Bring some mutans. Bring some extra underwear because you never know if you're going to need them.
My advice to someone just starting school for the first time is to be kind to everyone you meet, regardless of whether or not they're kind to you. Just remember that at the end of the day, you do get to come home, and school is just a place you go, but you come home to people or family who love you.
It's good advice.
Oh my gosh.
It's so good. That's so good. You get to come home at the end of the day. We promise you get to come home.
I mean, can't that be my kid?
Yeah.
What great advice.
Back to school is always stressful, but for parents, too, and teachers, for very different reasons. Because parents get all uptight about their kids and, you know, who's going to be their teacher? Are they going to do well?
Well, let's face it. Sometimes the parents are just, you know, they're extra, all right? They're too much. And as a teacher, you just want to tell them the truth. Hey, listen, you know what? Honestly, your kid is blank.
Right. So if you're a teacher, here's your chance. 1-800-330-9999. What should parents know with back to school?
Mary, you're a teacher, right?
Yes.
What grade?
8.
All right. If you could say anything to parents, what would it be?
Your child is the bad seed. They are the ringleader. You think they are an angel, but trust me, that halo is tarnished. They are the ringleaders of all the drama in the class. They stir up the other kids. It is your child. Do better.
I love the do better. Because that puts it squarely on you.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to think that their kid, if they did something wrong, God forbid if there's evidence, and we are in the evidence age, cell phones and all that, we want to believe that they're just standing next to the wrong kid.
Like, am I the only one that's like, whenever there's something bad happens, I assume it's my kid until I'm proven otherwise, you know? Like, it's like that time, remember that boy gave me the middle finger and I told his mom and his mom was like, well, he told me he didn't do it. I go, are you serious? Why would I lie?
Right.
Why would I lie about that?
You're a grown up and he was 7.
Right. Like, what are you talking about, lady? Like the parents that are so oblivious to the fact that their children are the problem child.
Yeah.
I'll never understand it.
Well, I mean, as a kid, too, if you get good at it, right, you know, you see the manipulation. We all do that. Then you play up that card, of course. I mean, I did.
Right.
Plenty of times.
If somebody has been bitten in that preschool, my money is going to be on Dakota until I'm proven otherwise.
Yeah, you know it's your daughter.
Yeah.
Tim, you're a teacher?
Yes, sir.
What grade do you teach?
2nd grade.
If you could be honest with parents, what would you tell them?
If I could be honest with parents, I'd tell them one thing. I'd take care of your kids day in and day out. And I am seeing some of the lunches that they pack into these lunch boxes. And let me tell you, I would not serve that to federal inmates. Some of this stuff, parents, if you're not going to eat it yourself, why are you feeding it to your kids? Some of this stuff looks like it could cause food poisoning. It's bad. Very bad.
Anna, did you you packed a lunch or yes or no?
What do you mean, for my kids?
Yeah, well, no. For you when you were younger.
Well, my mom always made me lunches, but I'll remember a couple years ago I was complaining because Hayden, my older daughter, always used to complain about what I was packing her for lunch. And I'll never forget it. A caller called in and said, how old is she? And at the time, she was 11. And I said, she's 11. And she goes, why are you still packing her lunch? And it was like the voice
right.
of an angel.
The clouds parted.
Oh, my gosh.
The rays of sunshine came down.
I go, wait a minute. They can pack their own lunches? And ever since then, who knows what she puts in there? I mean, she could go in there with like 4 Kit Kats and like a Snickers bar. But
half a roll of quarters.
Yeah, who knows? But now I never hear about it anymore. I guess she's eating something.
Wow.
Yeah, I say I go grocery shopping on Sundays. And tell me, make a list, and I buy what's on the list, and then she figures it out.
What a revelation.
Teachers, if you could be completely honest and tell parents one thing at the start of the school year, what would it be? 1-800-330-9999.
Shadea, what's up?
One thing I want parents to know is, like, school starts at home. It starts at home. You can't send a child to school if they don't got nothing going on at home.
Yeah, I remember, like, there used to be prep stuff that we would do before school. And my parents were always big on making sure that you were reading or doing your numbers or whatever before that. Well, I hope people are
still remember back in the day when we had the summer reading log? I don't see no kids doing the summer reading log.
Well,
now.
No, they exist. I just don't think we see them anymore. I know I don't. My older one is like in middle school now, so everything she kind of does on her own. But I remember doing the logs with the local library up until a couple years ago.
School starts at home. You're the number one teacher.
Yep, you're 100% right.
Jan, you're a teacher, aren't you?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am.
All right, and what advice would you give to parents?
And this is going to sound kind of mean, but do not insist that your kid is in the gifted program unless, we actually tell you that your kid is gifted. You would be so shocked how many people think their kid is gifted. And it's not like they aren't smart, but they're not gifted. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, definitely.
It's like almost like, a badge or something. My kid is gifted. Well, not every kid is gifted. Sorry. And yours ain't.
It sounds so bad when I actually say it out loud. But one of my friends, her daughter, is in a gifted program.
I was in a gifted program.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well, that was a mistake. So I took... So she sent me...
No, is that the part that sounds wrong?
Right.
Does that feel... Yes. That felt wrong.
Right. No, but she sent me screenshots from like this Facebook group that she's in.
Yeah.
And I'm reading what these parents are writing. And I'm like, what? These people, it's like they're on another planet. The things that they like are expecting their children to do, and all that, like, and they're bashing the teachers and all that. I don't know.
Luckily, when I was in it, there was no Facebook. So
when you ran it, it was a made up thing.
I was in it.
I was in a gifted program. Oh, uh huh.
I was.
You were, Raven.
It was called Probe. Yeah. I remember.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
That's what they told you it was. This is a gifted program.
They shipped me to another school. There was a bunch of us there from other schools.
Uh huh. It was. They shipped you to another school.
Right, it now, didn't have bars on the doors and windows.
Looking back.
Yes.
Do you really believe that was a gifted program?
Yes, I still do.
Uh-huh.
I still do.
Yeah.
But maybe for misbehaving kids.
Right.
Oh, man.
You're so proud of yourself just now.
Hey, Carolina, you a teacher?
I'm a teacher aide, okay? And so we're in the trenches, kind of like we're on the playground. We're in the cafeteria.
Mm.
And parents, could you please label their jackets?
Right. Right, that's a good one.
Put a name in the jacket. You have no idea. The lost and found at the end of the year is larger than a department store.
I mean, did they stop this practice? Parents used to write the name in everything.
I never
It was in my underwear.
I never, ever write the name in there. That's a really good tip. I got to bring a Sharpie home. Yes.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Seth and Brittany. Brittany, let's start with you. What's going on?
So we're going on vacation soon for a week, and I think it would be important and a good idea to let our neighbors know that we're going away because, what if we get a package or something happens? It's good for them to know we're not home so they can look out for our house, too.
Seth, you don't agree with that?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you don't tell your neighbors you're going home for a week. That's you're setting yourself up for home invasions. And sorry to say, but I don't trust all of our neighbors. So I think I don't think it's a good idea to let our neighbors know.
Well, I mean, I would hope that you trust at least one of your neighbors. It's not good if you don't, right? It's not a good feeling if you don't. I don't trust all my neighbors. I wouldn't trust every one of them. Everybody knows you got a couple neighbors that are crazy, but I've lived in neighborhoods too where you're like, oh, this person's got their eyes on the things that I have here on my property or whatever.
I don't think, I don't not trust any of my neighbors, but I never tell anybody that I'm leaving.
No, you don't?
No.
Huh. Typically, we have the dogs have to be watched. There's a dog sitter at our house that are at my house, right? We don't do a lot with the programming of the lights or anything. We could do more with that. I mean, we have the cameras up, but what good will they do you if you're far away? So, I get the reasons why you tell one of your neighbors.
I guess it depends on how close you are. You don't have like good relationships with any of them because I understand the package. Sometimes I'll have to, like, if I see a package being delivered, I'll have to call my mom and be like, Ma, can you stop by the house and bring it in? And
right.
Then she sets off the alarm and then the police come and then it's like a whole thing.
It would have been better just leaving the package out there to be stolen possibly.
Right. Yeah, or let the neighbors know to bring it to their house and I would grab it later or whatever. It's an interesting question. I wonder what people do. Let's see. They may agree with you, Brittany. What's the big deal? As long as you don't think your neighbors are felons, then what's the big deal in letting them know that you're going to be gone for a week if they could help you out, keep an eye on the house? But they may see that side too. Why draw attention to it if you don't have to?
I tell one neighbor and they tell me, but I've got another neighbor. They never tell us. I always know they're gone when their kids are having a party. I'm curious to see what people think. 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, whose side are you on?
It's an interesting debate that I've never really thought about myself. Seth and Brittany are going away for a week, and Brittany's like, well, we have to let, you know, at least one of our neighbors know that we're going to be gone for the week to keep an eye on the house. But Seth disagrees.
Yeah, Seth thinks, like, if we tell people that we're leaving, then it makes people consciously aware of it. The first few days, they wouldn't even be aware if we didn't tell them. Now we make ourselves a target. I mean, what a terrible feeling to feel like in your neighborhood, everybody is an enemy. You got to have at least one friend, Anna, even if you don't genuinely like them.
Yeah, but I was thinking about it because I have, you know, I'm friends with all my neighbors. Like, they're great people, but I never tell anybody when I'm going on vacation. And I'm looking at our text line, and it says, I've always let 1 to 2 neighbors know when I'll be away for more than one night. So I'm like, is that the rule? Like, more than one night, you got to let them know? Because I think a week is, I guess it's a long time if you think about it, but more than one night, like, what if you're just going away for a weekend? Now your poor neighbor's got to know about it, too.
The neighbors directly across the street from us, friends. They can come over, let my dogs out. We have done the same for them, pick up packages, all that stuff. So it makes things easy just to know that somebody else is keeping an eye on your house. Plus, he's a retired law enforcement, so I know he's got the things that he needs in case somebody breaks into my house.
I've never even thought about it. I've never thought to burden my neighbor with something like that. But what do you think? What do you do when you go on vacation? Do you let your neighbors know? 1-800-330-9999. I wonder what people do normally. I never even thought about this. Seth and Brittany are going away for a week. And Brittany says, well, we have to tell at least one of our neighbors so they can keep an eye on the house. And Seth is like, what are you talking about? Why would we possibly tell a neighbor?
Yeah, he thinks that it actually makes them more of a target at that point. You know, there's one way for us to test this theory, Anna. Break into houses.
No, that doesn't seem like a good theory at all.
No, you're right. It's not a good theory.
No.
But it would definitely give you a result one way or the other.
I've never, ever told a neighbor when I was going away. It's never even crossed my mind.
You know, funny, in my neighborhood, like, we just had a couple friends. We were gone for a couple days. We had friends stop by and let the dogs out during the day. And it occurred to us when the first one showed up that we hadn't told the other neighbors that they were going to do that. And the key was hidden around back. So it was kind of like,
They thought you were breaking your house and getting broken into.
Yeah, we were nervous. Yeah. Luckily, you know, they've met a couple of the neighbors that friend at barbecues, but you just don't know who remembers who, especially from our parties.
Yeah, like, what do you do? What do you think? Are you on Brittany's side, where we definitely need to tell a neighbor, or Seth's side, where why you can tell anybody? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven?
I'm on the side of telling your neighbors that you're going away.
I feel like you've got to like at least one of your neighbors, Anna.
Right, but do you really need to tell them? Have you ever done it when you go away?
Yes, I always tell my neighbors that I'm going away. My name's Kathy.
See, Kathy's never emptied your house of all its belongings. Seth should relax, Anna.
Not yet, anyway.
Hey, Marilyn, whose side are you on today?
I'm on side of the person that tells their neighbors.
Yeah, I mean, you got to let your neighbors know, right?
Why?
Because. Who's the neighbor that watches the house for you?
My neighbor next door watches the house for me. Uh-huh. And we pick up packages. You know, usually there's always a package that shows up that we've forgotten is being delivered. And those are, it's very unsafe for those to be outside for more than a day or two.
Yeah.
And then they just keep an eye for any strangers or, you know, anybody on the property.
So my neighbors, this is the one thing I left out, is that my neighbors, they get booze delivered. So they get big boxes of wine and stuff like that. So if nobody goes picks it up, you know that's going to disappear.
See, I never thought about it. One time I forgot to skip my HelloFresh shipment.
Oh.
Yeah. I was sad.
Just rotten groceries on your front door when you get back. Welcome
home. My own fault.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Brittany, our audience agreed with you today. Seth, maybe being a little more trusting, letting at least one neighbor know so they can keep an eye out if something suspicious is happening. There has to be at least somebody in your neighborhood that you trust.
No, there is. I mean, there's a couple people that we trust. It's just, you know, I don't want to set ourselves up for to be invaded. You know, you never know these days, but I guess it's good. I guess I could see the value in trusting your neighbors, you know.
Well, take the person in your neighborhood that's already asked you for a favor, whether that's walking their dog or watching their house where they're gone or picking up their packages or whatever. And then if you come back and your house is empty, destroy their lives. Wait for the next time that they ask you for a favor and then do the opposite of that favor, a.k.a. steal all their property. Make sure their house gets hit by a tornado while they're on vacation. You know, you'll have a chance for your vengeance. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess I will, huh?
If you wait long enough.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $800 thanks to Go-Go Squeeze. Go-Go Squeeze fruit on the go pouches are a nutritious snack made from 100% fruit with no sugar added. Squeeze out the best with Go-Go Squeeze. All right, Janet and Chrissy, you guys ready to play?
Oh, we definitely are.
Okay, great. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please,
let's go. Sure. Good luck, girl.
All right. Okay, Ravens, I'm walking out of here. That door is going to close. He won't be able to hear us. The studio is soundproof. I'm going to ask you 5 questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, answer the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
Okay, number one, Harry Styles had to stop his concert to address the chicken nuggets that were thrown on the stage. How many McNuggets come in a Happy Meal at McDonald's?
4 or 6.
Number two, for the 4th time since 2011, Tom Brady has been chosen by his peers as the number one player in the NFL Top 100. What number jersey does he wear?
12.
Number three, Serena won her first match at the U.S. Open, so retirement will have to wait a few more days. Her husband, Alexis Ohanian, founded what social news online site?
Not sure.
Number four, Chris Rock says he turned down an offer to host the 2023 Oscars. Who slapped him at the last show? At number five, Jesse Tyler Ferguson officiated Sarah Hyland's wedding. They starred together in what sitcom?
It's at the tip of my tongue.
It's time. You're going to be so upset when you hear it because you definitely know it. Let me bring Raven back in.
I know. I'm going to stick myself in the butt. I know it.
It's all right. You guys did great. You got 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5. Let's see here. 800 bucks on the line.
Harry Styles had to stop his concert to address the chicken nuggets that were thrown on the stage. How many McNuggets come in a Happy Meal at McDonald's?
4.
Yes. You actually have the option 4 or 6. So I would have accepted either of them.
Oh, upgrade. I wouldn't have known.
Sometimes I get the Happy Meal with the 6 McNuggets, just as a side note. Number two, for the 4th time since 2011, Tom Brady has been chosen by his peers as the number one player in the NFL Top 100.
Uh-huh.
What number jersey does he wear?
Wears 12.
Yes. Number three, Serena won her first match at the U.S. Open, so retirement will have to wait another few days. Her husband, Alexis Ohanian, founded what social news online site?
Reddit, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Number four, Chris Rock says he turned down an offer to host the 2023 Oscars. Who slapped him at the last award show?
Will Smith.
And number five, Jesse Tyler Ferguson officiated Sarah Hyland's wedding. They starred together on what sitcom?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Modern Family.
Yeah, I didn't watch that show.
Oh, my gosh. All right, I'm sorry, guys. He beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Janet and Christina. We can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for playing, ladies. Hold on the line.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, though you'll have to share it. 900 bucks tomorrow, Anna.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.